Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with God Destroys the Enemies of Israel, as we pick up in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 17. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Thus saith the Lord God, verse 17, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the fowls of the heaven, the beasts of the field, and all of the creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountain shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, every wall shall fall to the ground, and I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. Very interesting prophecy. There will come an internal revolution in the Russian forces. And the prediction here is that part of the destruction will come from a civil war as men begin to turn their swords against their brothers. But then God said, and I will plead against him with pestilence, with blood. I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. God has wiped out enemies of Israel in the past with these same types of weapons, raining upon the enemies of Israel, the fire and brimstone from heaven. You remember Joshua at the battle at Ajalon, where God rained down these rocks and fire from heaven upon their enemies. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So, a tremendous earthquake, a great shaking, civil war or internal discord, along with this heavy rain, hailstones, fire and brimstone, God will destroy this invading army. Will it involve atomic warfare? Will the United States be involved? This could only be speculation. We don't know. Could the fire and brimstone, the rain of fire and brimstone, be atomic warfare? Possibly. It could be that he is describing the effects of a nuclear holocaust, and it is quite possible that there will be a massive exchange of nuclear weapons between Russia and the United States. The Bible doesn't say that. That's only speculation as far as, yes, it is possible that that would take place. I do believe that the rapture of the church is going to be taking place simultaneously with these events, as we will point out as we get into chapter 39. It would be very interesting, indeed, if there was a nuclear holocaust and the church was translated out of the earth during the time of the nuclear holocaust. They would surely be able to explain the disappearance of many people in a very natural way, without causing really too much great alarm. Something to think about. The Bible doesn't say. It is only speculation and something to consider, something to think about. However it happens, by whatever means it takes place, these will be the events. A great shaking, even the mountains and the steep places being shaken, so tremendous avalanches, this heavy rain, great hailstones, fire and the brimstone, plus the civil war, and thus God will deal with this great invading army of Russia. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the Rosh prince, or the Russian prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. They are to be destroyed, and there will be left only a sixth part. 5/6 of them will be wiped out. I will smite the bow out of your left hand and will cause your arrows to fall in your right hand. You will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all of your bands and all of the people that are with you. And I will give you unto the ravenous birds of every sort and the beasts of the field to be devoured. You will fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire upon Magog. So this is where we spoke about the possibility of a nuclear exchange, where God said, I will send a fire upon Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the coast. And the isles or the coast are usually just a reference of distant nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord. So in verse 6, you have there the possibility as God sends fire upon Russia and nations that are dwelling carelessly. You have that possibility of nuclear exchange. So I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them pollute my holy name anymore, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is come, it is done, saith the Lord God. This is the day whereof I have spoken. Some of the heaviest prophecies in the Bible. God says, all right, that's it, it's done. This is the day that I've spoken about. And they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields, bucklers, bows and arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire for 7 years. Translated into modern warfare, they will be burning the oil supplies, no doubt, that have been brought in this massive invasion. And they will have their energy needs taken care of for a period of 7 years, so that they will not have to cut wood out of the field, neither cut down any of the forest, for they shall burn the weapons with fire, and they shall spoil those that spoiled them and rob those that robbed them, saith the Lord God. It shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog, that is the leader, the Russian prince of Meshech and Tubal, a place there of graves in Israel, and the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. So they will be buried over in the area of Jordan, on the east of the Dead Sea, the valley of passengers. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers, and there shall they bury Gog and all of his multitude, and they will call it the Valley of Hammon Gog, or the Valley of the Multitude. Hammon is multitude, the multitude of Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. It'll take them 7 months to bury the dead. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and they shall be to them a renown the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord God. And they shall sever out men of continual employment. In other words, they will hire professional buriers with the passengers, those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they begin a search. And the passengers that pass through the land, when anyone sees a man's bone, Then shall he set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And also the name of the city shall be Hamona. Thus shall they cleanse the land. Now it is interesting to me that they do not touch the bones. They have professional buriers to bury these bones. When they find bones, they just set signs by them. There could be a fear of radioactivity, especially in that they do not begin the search until 7 months are over. So it could be that there is a real fear of radioactivity, and thus the burying is left to professional buriers. The people that discover the bones only set a sign by it so the professional buriers can come along and bury them. And thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl, to every beast of the field, to assemble yourselves and come, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I've sacrificed for you, even the great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel, that you may eat the flesh and drink the blood. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty, drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, of goats, of bullocks, of all of them, the fatlings of Bashan. Ye shall eat fat till ye be full, and drink the blood till ye are drunken, of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Thus ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with the mighty men, and with all of the men of war, saith the Lord God. And I will set my glory among the heathen, and all of the heathen shall see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day and forward. This will be the day of restoration for Israel, when God once again takes them as his people and they acknowledge him as their God. And the heathen shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespass against me. Therefore hid I my face from them and gave them to the hand of their enemies. So fell they all by the sword. God here speaks of hiding his face from them. Again, he will repeat that in verse 29 as he says, neither will I hide my face anymore from them. Paul the Apostle in Romans, the 11th chapter, in talking about the grace of God that has come to us Gentiles, declares that God has taken us like a wild olive branch and grafted us into the roots of the Old Testament promises, that we might be the partakers of the blessings that God promised to Abraham and all. That God cut off the natural branch, Israel, that we might be grafted in. However, Paul said, don't boast against the natural branch. As Christians, we should not be boasting against Israel, saying, well, yeah, God cut you off and he's adopted us. And we have your blessings, and we have the promises that God made to you. For Paul said, if God cut off the natural branch to graft in a wild branch, he is also able to graft in again the natural branch. And he said, did God cut it off that he might cast it away forever? God forbid. For blindness has happened in Israel in part or for a time, until the fullness of the Gentiles is come in, and then all of Israel shall be saved. For God shall send forth a deliverer out of Zion to turn the hearts of the children unto their fathers, as he quotes the passage from Joel, 2nd chapter. So, even in the New Testament, Paul does not seek to make this prophecy concerning Israel applied to the church. The church has a separate place as a wild olive branch grafted in to partake of the fatness of the roots. But even as we've been grafted in and the natural branch cut off that we might be grafted in, so God will again restore his work on Israel. Those people today who seek to interpret prophecy by saying God is through with Israel, the Jews are over, the Jews that you see today aren't real Jews, and all of this kind of hogwash, are doing a great disservice to the Word of God and to the understanding of prophecy. For all the way through, God has affirmed His perpetual, eternal love for His people Israel, and that He would never cast them off forever, but He is definitely going to work with them once again, for they are His people, and though He has blinded their eyes for a time, yet the day will come when they will be grafted back in, and they again will enjoy the blessings of God's special people during the kingdom age. Now, here in the prophecy, God speaks of having hid His face from them for a time. But according to their uncleanness, according to their transgressions, have I done unto them and hid my face from them. Verse 24. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, now will I bring again the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous for my holy name. And after that they have borne their shame and all of their trespasses whereby they have trespassed against me, when they shall dwell safely in their land and none made them afraid, when I have brought them again from the people and gathered them out of their enemies' lands and am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. So, this prophecy will take place after God has brought them back and made them a nation. He's already done that. But after also He has destroyed this Russian army that will be invading. For latter part of verse 27, and I am sanctified in them in the sight of many nations. That takes place at the destruction of the Russian army. Verse 23 of chapter 38, as God speaks of His destroying of the army, He said, thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself and will be known in the eyes of many nations. So this is a reference back. Verse 27 is referenced back to verse 23 of chapter 38. So when God has destroyed the Russian army, what then? Then shall they know that I am the Lord their God, which caused them to be led into captivity among the heathen, but I have gathered them into their own land, and I have left none of them anymore. So they will not really recognize God until the Russian invading army is destroyed. But when God has destroyed the Russian army, the Jews at that point will recognize God, and they will then have their eyes open. God said, I'll no longer hide my face from them, and there will be a fantastic spiritual revival in Israel. Neither will I hide my face anymore for them, for I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, saith the Lord God. So at this point, when the Russian army is destroyed, God will pour out His spirit upon the nation Israel. Now, that brings in some very strong and powerful implications. Because right now, God has poured out His spirit upon the Gentile world as He is drawing out a body, a bride for Jesus Christ. We are now in the phase of the work of the Holy Spirit in the world, and God's Spirit is working in the world today. And as God's Spirit is working in the world, the purpose is to draw out a people that will compose the bride of Jesus Christ. And as God's Spirit is working in and through the church today, by that power of God's Spirit within the church, that whole force of evil is being held in check. There are people today who hate the church violently. Most of them are newscasters and political cartoonists. There is a definite concerted effort to destroy the church by ridicule, by lies, by distortions. Those forces of evil hate the fact that the church would dare to speak up for morality and hold back this flood of filth that they want to pour out upon the world. And you can see their consternation as they express it. But the world can be thankful for the church, For if it were not for the restraining power of the Spirit within the church, the world would already be turned over to the evil one, and the Antichrist would already be reigning. But that which hinders the coming forth of the Antichrist and his taking over of the world, the Spirit of God within the church will continue to hinder until it is removed out of the way, and then the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, who will come forth with all kinds of lies and deceit, deceiving the whole world and bringing it under his influence and control. And the floodgates of evil will be opened up. But that cannot happen as long as the church is here. That restraining force of the Spirit within the church is holding back the floodgates of evil. But when the Lord removes the church, then his Spirit will be poured out upon the nation Israel. And God will be dealing with the nation Israel by his Spirit during this final 7-year cycle.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Ezekiel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Ezekiel 38 through 39 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord cause his word to be established in each of your hearts and lives. And may you grow in grace and in knowledge of him. And may he, with his cords of loving kindness, just draw you unto himself, that you may ever experience a richer, fuller, deeper comprehension of that love that God has for you, his child. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
I have a question for you. How would you like to go from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year using a daily Bible devotional? And what if this devotional was written by Pastor Chuck? Then I've got great news. Be one of the many thousands of readers who have enjoyed reading Wisdom for Today, a daily devotional that speaks volumes of wisdom to apply to your everyday life. Come alongside Pastor Chuck as he takes you on a journey from Genesis to Revelation, providing God's truth to answer your questions and discover how this might very well become your most beloved and cherished devotional ever. To order your copy of Wisdom for Today, a leather hardback, for yourself or for a loved one, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673. Or visit us online for more information and to read a preview at thewordfortoday.org.